Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Suffering Quota. They're a Dutch grindcore band, and the track Out, which I just played for you, is the lead-off track for their new album, their third album, Collide. It's going to release May 26th, officially, on three different record labels, Lower Class Kids Records, 7 Degrees Records, and Tartarus Records. It's 12 songs, it's 19 minutes, it's fucking grindcore, it's, other death metal, crust, hardcore, power violence, but let's just call it grindcore. That's the easy thing to do, and I think it fits the bill. Great album, quick in and out again to start with that song Out, and I hope you enjoyed it. From the Netherlands, check them out if you haven't heard about them yet. Link available in the show notes. Get to know Suffering Quota. I like that name too. I like the idea of quotas. I don't want to get all into it now, but I think it's funny when people say that cops have a quota they got to meet, and maybe they do. I just think it's funny. Anyway, on this episode of the podcast, we're talking to Davey from Vamakara. He plays guitar in that band, and they have a new album out. It's out now. It's already out there. It's on Closed Casket Activities. It's called No Roses. No Roses. I said that like someone from Baltimore County. No Roses on My Grave. But first, you know, it's time for New Jersey's own Hot Zone.
Kick it! Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out, we be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been. We're never sitting it out, we'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Get in and out!
You know, it's been a couple episodes, at least one, since I gave you an NBA playoff rundown, and that's going to happen. But first, I want to say thanks to the people that checked out last week's episode with Sean O'Donnell of Youngblood Records. These record label episodes actually go over surprisingly well, and it's really interesting to me when people reach out and say that they checked out a lot of stuff on the label because I had whoever on to interview. And that was the case with Sean O'Donnell and a few people that reached out. A few people left comments. There's a cool way to do that now. It's on Spotify. It says like below the episodes, it says, what do you think about this episode? And I didn't check that stuff out. I don't even know how you checked it, but I found out how you look at that now. And it's cool to see some of the comments in there. So if you have any comments about episodes, please do let me know through there. And then I can click something that shows them so other people can see what other people said about an episode. If you say something dumb, I'm probably still going to show it. So I appreciate that interaction there. It's a cool way to get feedback. And I've seen a few things on a few episodes. I went back in the history and saw a couple of people have been using it for a little while. So it's very cool to see that. So please do provide that feedback. And as always, you can subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform of your choice. I don't know, man. I don't check that stuff anymore at all. It used to be like something I was desperate for, but nobody ever did it. So I don't know, you know, what's my rating on Spotify? I don't know. What's my rating on Apple Music, whatever people use to listen to Apple Podcasts? I don't know. But if you could give it 5 stars, write a nice little review, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too. I just don't want to be out here thinking that I've got 3 stars when I'm a 5-star kind of guy, you know, 5-star recruit, like basketball. Let's get to basketball. The NBA playoffs heating up, as they say. All series, the 4 series that are left are at 4 games. And that means 4 different things, of course. The Heat have taken a commanding 3-1 lead over the New York Knicks. That series will go back to New York, Madison Square Garden here shortly. We'll see if Jimmy Butler can continue his dominance. I seem to think he will. I feel like the Knicks can't get out of this. Maybe they'll push it to 6, but you know, I think the inevitable is going to happen. Be cool to see it go 2 more in Madison Square Garden, because those games are crazy energy wise, maybe not necessarily basketball wise, but it feels nuts. So we'll see there. Butler continues his Jimmy Butler playoff shit, man. That guy has done everything he said he was going to do when he left Philly. And I miss him for that. You know, I thought he was a dick at first. And then it's like, well, you know, some people are just fucking right. And he's been right. So we'll see what happens there. The Lakers last night beat the Warriors 104-101 behind the strength of Reading, Pennsylvania's Lonnie Walker. He had like a 15-point fourth quarter. No one saw that coming, but he did, apparently. LeBron's been getting all this praise for doing nothing. This is really interesting. It's really cool when you get to a point where you can do nothing or relatively nothing. You can do a lot less, and people are like, man, do you see how awesome he is? He's doing less, and it's working. And, you know, in a way, that makes sense. Less is more, right? Save it for when you need it, like apparently he did last night. Big block on Curry. Curry himself had a triple-double, but that's not enough. Klay Thompson, 9 points. What happens, man? What happens to that guy? I mean, I get it. I got one of those guys that I root for that, you know, can be nuclear and then go straight up cold for a game. Speaking of nuclear, the Suns, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker lit up the stupid Nuggets the other night. Jokic out there bullying plain old businessmen in the front row. What a terror he is. I've still yet to watch a Nuggets game. That's not true. I just like to say that. The Nuggets, though, go back to Denver. The series is tied 2-2. We'll see what happens. If you haven't seen Jokic push to the Suns owner, Matt Ishbia, really, like, a lot of things had to happen for that to happen. And I'm glad it happened. Ishbia totally flopped, which is really funny. Jokic barely pushed him. At the same time, they're both in the wrong. But here's the thing. I don't give a shit about any of it. Nobody should be fined. Nobody should be suspended. And I think the only thing that happened was a fine for Jokic. But whatever. And now to the most important series. The Philadelphia 76ers have tied it up with the stupid Boston Celtics. And now we're going back to Boston. Game 5 tonight starts at 7:30. I will be out and about and will be have to be watching on my phone or on TVs that are hopefully above the bar at a Chuck Reagan Frank Turner concert. And that's okay. I can multitask. But I'm feeling kind of confident. I don't think I should be. There's no reason for me to be feeling confident. I feel like when James Harden clicks it in, man, they win. And big surprise. I mean, that should be common sense. And hopefully they can do that again on the road in Boston. They've already done it once in the series. Why not do it again? Joel Embiid just needs to do exactly what he did on Sunday. And they can surely win this game. I don't know if they will, but it'd be nice. It'd be certainly be nice, because beating Boston to me is like the world championship. If they can do that, I don't really need to see anything else. Of course, other than defeating Jimmy Butler in the conference finals, and then the who's going to be around? Maybe the Lakers, maybe the Nuggets, maybe the Suns, possibly the Warriors. Yeah, so I'm not getting ahead of myself. I just want to see the Sixers beat the fucking Celtics, which is like an insurmountable thing. So we'll see. Everybody hope and pray. Thoughts and prayers for the 76ers tonight. Anyway, you likely didn't come here to listen to me talk about basketball at all. And I always know that. And I always still do not care. You came here to hear an interview with Davey from Vamakara. They are a Los Angeles-based hardcore band. You might call them metalcore band. They might call themselves metalcore band. And that's cool with me. They have a new album. It's called No Roses on My Grave. It just came out a week or two ago on Closed Casket Activities. I spoke to Davey late last week, so this is pretty timely. And we had a cool conversation. I really enjoyed talking to him. He's a very nice guy. And I'm happy to share that conversation with you all now. But first, I'm going to play you a track from their new album, No Roses on My Grave. It's called Miles Away. I hope you enjoy it. And then my chat with Davey. So, Vamakara.
Yes.
Is that right? First of all, I got to start there.
Yes. People say Vamakara. Well, that's what we say. People say Vamachara. I've heard it both ways, and I don't really care as long as you know who
you got to tell those other people they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's Vamakara. We say Vamakara. It's funny because we have a song in our EP where he says Vamakara, and people still wonder how to say it.
It's the first track off the last EP, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was listening to that earlier today, and like, there it is. Now I'm confident I got it right.
Yeah.
And it seems like it should be right. Anyway, I know you've probably had to go over this a million times. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? What's Vamakara?
Sure. Vamakara is the left-hand path in Sanskrit. Basically attaining enlightenment of sorts with like, but like using a darker path essentially. Yep. So that's just, we were thinking of a band name and I was like, hey, this is cool. And then we went with it.
It's cool. And it's very original too. Yeah. And, I think probably the thing about the name, having just a fucking original eye-catching name, especially in hardcore where,
yeah,
we know how hardcore bands names go. You could be called a right left and that'd be like suitable, you know, it can be basic and it's also like appropriate a lot of times, but like the heavier style that you guys are playing to have a name like this with everything that you bring, I think it's very good representation of what you offer.
And I kind of like that. Even if you don't know how to say it, you're at least like, well, that's that band that I don't know how to say their name, but whatever. Right. You just remember it.
Right. Well, you guys have been around for quite a few years, longer I think than I thought. 2014, maybe?
2013. We played 13? Our first show in October of 2013. So we're 10 years this year in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool then, because you have a significant amount of material, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Does it seem like it to you?
Yeah. I mean, we had our demo, which came out in 2014. We played our first show without releasing any music. And then we recorded a proper EP called Lapse. And then we did a full length Despondent. And then we did a couple singles also. And then we did the Hereafter EP in 2019. And then the No Roses on My Grave album just came out. So we've been trying to stay consistent. Our style's kind of always evolving. So you just always want to make new music.
Yeah. Well, it's not bad output for a band for 10 years for a band in the realm of hardcore too, because we know a lot of times you maybe get an LP if they get that far. Usually it's EP split and then that's it. And that's fine too, because a lot of times, again, that's suitable. But I think for your style, which is, you know, much heavier, it's more impressive to stick around and stay interesting.
Yes.
And I think you've really done that. That's Thank basically you. What I'm trying to get to. I listened to No Roses on My Grave a lot. And I know it's just been out for a week now, but tell me a little bit about, well, let's go way back just and briefly. I don't want to spend too much time on the beginning of it, but when and why did you start this band, and was there an intention on what you wanted to sound like from the very beginning? Was there any of the bands that like you were looking at as direct influence?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I started the band with my brother. He's no longer in the band, but he was our first drummer, and it was actually supposed to be like I had a previous band before, and it was kind of just supposed to be that band redone. Mm-hmm. And then as we were writing, we were just like, let's just start something new. It sounds different. We basically, at the time, the sound of like Disembodied and Martyr AD wasn't super, super huge in the scene. I think probably there was like Zabalba, who had a lot of like Disembodied influence. But for us, those are bands that we loved, like, you know, and we're like, you know, I was like, I'm gonna worship fucking Martyr AD and shit. So I was like, that's just what I want to sound like, and we just, that's what we did.
I mean other than, like you said, Zabalba, not a sound that I would immediately think of as a West Coast sound. I don't even know what that really fucking means, but
yeah,
it's, you know, especially like coming out of, I don't know, maybe I'm just coming up with some weird generalization on the spot, but like, you know, Los Angeles area hardcore, that's not what I think of when I think of that.
Yeah, there's definitely a sound for Los Angeles. I think some bands from here do it like super well, like Rotting Out is a Los Angeles
band. That's like perfect. Yeah.
And they sound just like Los Angeles. And we obviously love a lot of those bands, but for us it was bands like that where we were like, well, let's just, you know, maybe just do something different. Maybe do something that's like kind of a little bit more scary or a little bit darker and everything. So we just, again, we're big fans of Disembodied, Martyr AD, a lot of early metalcore, Kickback and Archangel and shit. And we were just like, let's just do it. Fuck it.
Do you go as far as to call it metalcore? Okay. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It means like something different, but
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I would too. I used to get in this argument frequently. Frequently sounds like too much, but I used to get in this argument with people about, I mean, this feels, it's like an ancient argument. It was about like what metalcore is, was, and I feel like, you know, now that I'm saying it out loud, I probably haven't had it for 15 years, but like, you know, back before metalcore became a whole different thing, mm-hmm. like what everybody calls metalcore now isn't really what it was before. Right. Same thing. I mean, you can say the same thing about hardcore. Hardcore sure. became something that it's not or whatever, vice versa. But I still think it's cool when bands who have like a traditional metalcore sound, like I think you guys do,
right?
Like rep right. that genre. And it's got to suit you well because it allows you to go many different ways. Have you found that the case with Vamakara?
Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely had songs that are a darker, faster vibe. And then we've done songs, especially on the latest album, that were heavily influenced by like shoegaze and mm-hmm. Like a lot of softer sounds.
Yeah.
And that to us works well for us with like the genre that we create. Cause I think it'd be difficult for some like more straight up hardcore bands to incorporate like a shoegaze part. It might be a little weird, but I think for us, it makes sense. Like when we do a lot of these like parts that have like really melodic chords and shit, people seem to like it and we love to play it. So it works out.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the way the band has evolved. I mean, other than personnel, because obviously there's been a lot of member turnover, but,
sure.
and I don't mean that negatively. I just mean, yeah. you know, the natural thing. So how do you feel the sound has changed basically from the beginning to now? You don't need to go step by step.
Sure. I think that when we started, we were super influenced by like Martyr AD and Disembodied. So we always wanted to keep those really chaotic heavy parts a part of our music. I think that the riffing has changed as far as like guitars, because we decided to every time we write new material, we say let's go a little bit less straightforward, maybe throw in some like polyrhythmic type of parts, mm-hmm. and like let's make this like a difficult thing to play, because I think that when obviously there's very simple metalcore and it can be very good, but I think that it's kind of like a cheat code, you know, like you could just do a breakdown with a dissonant and it's like people lose their minds. So we always,
especially if you're the right person and you got exactly. and you know the right people, then you're right up to the top.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there are bands that I think know that that's a sound that they want to use and they execute it well. And I think some bands go like, well, we don't know what to put here, so we're just going to add a dissonant chord and see mm-hmm. how it goes. But for our sound, I think we've just evolved to be more mature, a little bit more chaotic, but like almost calculated. And I think we, especially for this album, we got in touch with a lot of other like things that we grew up listening to. Like there's a lot of parts on this record that were like heavily influenced by like Despised Icon and like older bands. And mm-hmm. it was kind of like, I think it was a little bit of a jump for us, but I think we were just like, I remember listening to some of these old borderline deathcore bands, if that's what you want to call it. And we were like, those shows were scary. Like the kids yeah. went off at these shows and we were just like, let's just bring some of that back a little bit. Like, you know, just because that's what we kind of grew up listening to also. So, I think our sound has just really become something that honestly, like I know every band probably says this, but like, it's kind of something of our own, you know, mm-hmm. I think that one of the things we also love is we love Circle Pits, and that's because
it's the West Coast shit.
Love them.
We don't do that out here.
Yeah. No, I know. Every single time we play 1720, especially, I always call for a Circle Pit and the whole room is spinning and it's the coolest thing. It's the coolest fucking thing in the world. And I know that like, sometimes I want to go to the East Coast and be like, spin around, but I know that it doesn't happen.
You just get stairs. I mean, yeah. you'll get a couple of people that'll try, you know, yeah. but it's funny. It's so stupid, but it's so funny to have like this. No, we don't circle pit over here.
Yeah. Oh, we love it over here on the West Coast. We fucking love it.
You guys are generally nicer people, I find. So you're just out there having more fun. Where here, we got to look hard and mean the whole time. So if you're running circles,
right,
man, you can't do that. But you were saying an interesting thing about like tapping into some older influences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool thing that bands do eventually. I was talking to, I forget what his name is, but he's on your label. He's in Judiciary. He's their singer.
Jake.
Jake. Yes. I was talking to Jake doing this, and we were kind of touching on something similar where it's like, I think when people are making music at first, you're kind of doing the thing that people do when they ask you like, what bands do you like? And you kind of lie a little bit because mm-hmm. you want to sound legit, right? You sure, like, oh, sure. I like the fucking every band from that had a demo in the '80s, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And then I think that leaks into music too. And it doesn't, and you don't fully represent yourselves until you kind of outgrow that weird, like, you right. know, embarrassment right. of like stuff that you actually listen to and rock out to and love and have loved. Right.
Sure.
So eventually things start to seep out. And I think that seems like to be something what you're saying with like a little bit of that deathcore stuff that you were into before is just getting in here. And I hear it too. And I think it's good. And I think it's beneficial to your sound.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you've done a lot of touring at this mm-hmm. point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys with your sound have got to be able to, I'd say, I'd assume you have like a pretty wide swath of bands you could jump on with.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's been super cool because I know that our sound again is more metalcore. And I think that it would kind of be easy to lump us in with metalcore bands, but genuinely we love our hardcore scene. And we're always going to shows where, you know, Xavier puts on a lot of shows. Xavier's our guitarist and he puts on a lot of shows in the area. And that's allowed us to really create a lot of good connections and friendships with some bands that don't sound like us at all. Yeah. And, but I think when we decide like, hey, we're going to play a show with maybe a more straight up hardcore band, it doesn't seem weird. It makes mm-hmm. sense for us. Right. Yeah. There's like, I think that because we've toured with bands like Sanction and I love that band, but we've also toured with like Creeping Death, you know, and that's like a more death metal. And on this last, we just did a tour recently with Momentum and they're definitely more metalcore, but the more hardcore I think than us. Yeah. And it's just cool to be able to have that freedom to basically right. say like, whatever we want to tour with, we're going to tour with, you know, and that's like really cool.
It is. And I think people, kids specifically, younger people are more open to every band being there. Cause I feel like that stopped at some point when I'm 38, when mm-hmm. I was going to hardcore shows or whatever, we just called them fucking hardcore shows in mm-hmm. very early 2000s. You had bands that sounded like everything. Right. Yeah. And that was cool. That was fine. And then at some point it wasn't anymore. And I feel like it's coming back around where now it's cool. It's fine. You know? And I think it's shown by the younger kids. And mm-hmm. I think that's a very good thing and an important and vital thing, especially because I don't know about you, but I listen to way more shit than just hardcore or death metal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I am a punisher to all my friends because I'm a huge R&B fan. I love R&B. It's like most of the time when I'm putting in my headphones, I'm listening to R&B. So
when you say R&B, what do you mean?
My favorite artist of all time is Sade. Okay. A big Brian McKnight fan. I like a lot of current stuff too. I don't know how to say this person's name. It's like Lith or Light. I don't know. It's like L-I-T-H-E. I was listening to some, I think her name is Coco Jones this morning. There's a guy called Jameson. He's awesome. Anything that is like smooth and I can just like just enjoy. What I do recently a lot is I go to shows like R&B shows by myself. I'll just say, hey, this artist is playing. I'm gone. I'm just going to go buy one ticket. I'll show up, watch them and leave.
That's the way to do it, man. I've seen some killer shows. Oh, I would say concerts, you know, big room, huge shit, just by myself. Just, and some of it has been the best. I mean, it's a different side of the spectrum as far as music, but I went to see Scorpions and Megadeth once just by myself. I saw it was coming down, you know, down the road or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just saw it that day and I went, and it was like the one of the best Scorpions specifically. It was one of the best things I've ever seen live.
Right.
And it was like, it was kind of even cooler that I was there by myself.
Right.
You know? Like, it was just like, I like no one else. I don't have to, I'm never going to have anybody sitting here being like, well, you know, it was all right. Like, no, it remains cool as shit because it was just me.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I saw, recently I saw an artist named Sabrina Claudio by myself. Mm-hmm. She played the Palladium in Los Angeles, which is a pretty big venue.
Yeah.
And I just pulled up by myself and watched her. And then I enjoyed every bit of it. And then I was like, okay, time to go home. And then
that's the other part. You get to leave. You just get to leave. Yeah.
I got there whenever I wanted. And then I got to leave whenever I wanted.
I learned that about going to shows, any type of show at one point, always go by yourself, go by yourself, leave whenever you want, say goodbye to no one.
Yeah.
You know, just get the fuck out of there.
The thing that does suck, especially in Los Angeles, is when I have to pay $30 for parking. And I'm like, I got to pay that by myself. So that sucks.
Yikes. Well, all right, let's go back to the band, specifically the new record, No Roses on My Grave. Came out, is it a week ago? Not quite a week ago.
Yeah.
April 28th.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
28th. Okay. Yeah. So, I guess, I mean, you guys got a new singer, Gage, going into that record, right? I have to imagine that was a pretty decent transition. How was, or a big transition. How was that? Sure. How'd that go?
So, Gage started, he was playing bass for us originally. And we, in the middle of a tour, he stepped up and started doing vocals, and it kind of just made sense. And we were just like, okay, let's just keep this going. We wanted to write some new material, but it was kind of like, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So we were kind of like, well, we can definitely write some new material. But knowing how long it was taking for bands to be able to play shows, release music and everything, we were like, why don't we just do a live album? And we said, this kind of showcases Gage as our vocalist now. And it's just something that we can kind of release in the meantime to, like, you know, kind of keep people interested. And so we recorded this live album with Gage and it was awesome. And with the No Roses on My Grave, Gage, the biggest thing I think for Gage was that it was cool to do the live album, but it was all old stuff that he really wasn't involved in as far as the writing process. And he really wanted to be involved. He really wanted to take time, write lyrics and think about everything that he could do on his end. And that really shined through on this record. Like there was a lot of lyrics that I still tell him to this day. I'll be like, yo, this lyric was awesome. Like, I love that you wrote this. Or, Just hearing that his voice is so big, you know, like, and I think that with Xavier and I doing guest, like doing a vocal parts where we're not as low, it kind of contrasted well.
Yeah.
So Gage stepping up and being our vocalist now is probably one of those things that, like, it was kind of a.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know how people are going to respond to this, because I think getting a new vocalist is always a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a make or break thing. Either it fucking works or people don't care. I mean, don't care in a good way or in a bad way. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, well, done with them. It's tough.
It's tough, but I think that everybody really welcomed him, and it felt good. Like everybody was like stoked that he was our new vocalist. So it's been awesome.
Well, he sounds great. I mean, maybe this is my No Roses on My Grave, I think, is the only thing that I've heard him do, but mm-hmm. it sounds fucking good to me.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
So what was the, since the record's already out, mm-hmm. I usually ask this before records are out, but I try to ask it retrospectively. Like, what was the most exciting thing about the release of that record? What were you most looking forward to about getting that one out there?
I think it was really the evolution of our sound. Again, Gage being on vocals. There were like a few parts that I did on the Hereafter EP vocally, and Gage was like, "Nope, you're doing more." So that was also really cool. And I think just as our sound matured, I guess is the way to say it. But we kind of just said like, let's just fucking make whatever the fuck we want to make. Yeah. And whatever, you know, like if people like it, that's fucking awesome. But if they don't like it, then whatever. So, I think that was super cool to be able to finally say like, hey, we wrote all this shit. And a lot of our friends, again, who kind of grew up listening to old shit that I mentioned, they've been like texting us or messaging us and being like, yo, I know this part sounds just like this. And we were like, yeah, it does, you know? And that's been cool to us too, because it's getting our friends who've kind of been in the scene like a long time to be like, yo, this is awesome, because this takes me back to when I was like, you know, younger, like a teenager and everything. And like, that's fucking awesome.
That is cool. I mean, as much as sometimes we act like we don't like nostalgia, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's, when you get little hints of it, you know,
yes,
where it's not just total throw. And don't get me wrong, there's some people that I can't even think of a band right now, but there are a couple bands that are like full on throwbacks to whatever era, and it's cool. But when you have it like a large volume of it, it gets a little weird.
There's two bands I could think of right now that are doing straight MySpace deathcore throwback.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. The bands are Tracheotomy and Tactosa,
and
those bands are, it's like straight up like early 2000s MySpace deathcore. And it is fucking awesome. It's like when I was a kid or like a teenager in high school and I heard Suicide Silence for the first time. That's what those bands fucking sound like, and it is like the coolest fucking thing.
That's awesome. I think one came to mind that I was thinking about semi recently. I think they're still doing it, but Foreign Hands reminds me a ton of like early 2000s metalcore stuff. What we were calling metalcore back then, before it became like that was like the mid period before it shifted into this big room sound. But yeah, that's bands like that. That's funny.
That's an awesome band.
Yeah. No, they are for sure. Is there a theme or concept to the songs on No Roses on My Grave? So like as a whole?
Yeah. So the whole album, we actually, it's really funny. When we were writing the album, Gage thought of like the album art, and he said, cause we have our Crosshairs logo, and he was like, I want it made out of flowers. And that kind of fit a theme for us, where it was, we've always loved to do like contrasting images like to our sound. Like we do a lot of things that might look kind of pretty. And then our sound is just not. So we love doing that. And I think Gage thinking of the album like art. And then when we were recording, we didn't have an album title. And then he was doing the song Nemesis. And then at the end he says, No Roses on My Grave. And Xavier and I were like, that's it. That's the album title. Like that's it. And yeah, I think overall it was a big thing that changed. And I think especially with Gage doing vocals and writing, was he wanted to make the songs a little bit more aggressive in theme. There are a lot of songs where, like Deliverance on the Hereafter EP, which I wrote the lyrics for in like a deep depression. And he wanted to attack the songs more aggressively with a little bit more of like a fuck you kind of attitude, I would say, like to simplify it.
Right.
And that was very different for us, but also like super cool. Like it was really cool to be able to like have a different attitude with our songs.
It's cool. And I like it. And it definitely has a different energy. And yes. I can, maybe not everybody would agree, but I don't know. I guess anytime you listen to heavy music with ridiculous vocals long enough, you get pretty good at pulling out the words. And I can understand what he's saying in a lot of the songs. And that's,
yes,
I always find that helpful. I always find that very cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned the artwork. For people who haven't seen it, it's the Target, right?
Yeah.
The crosshairs. Mm-hmm. With made out of flower petals.
Yes.
I've only seen it like on a phone, maybe sure, on the sure. computer screen too, but so I don't know the total details of it, but that was, so you said that was his idea. Mm-hmm. How'd you do it? What was the process then?
That was, I don't want to say we got in over our heads with that, but Gage was like, we're going to build this thing. Like it's going to be a real thing. Like we're going to put it together. And, we did, it was like 6 feet tall or something like that. And like, obviously like 6 feet wide. And when we were putting it together at Xavier's house, and while we were doing it, we were like, oh shit. Like, this is kind of fucking, this is a little bit more than we thought.
It'd be a lot of flower petals, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We used a lot of material. And it was a lot of trial and error, but then we got basically like I would say 60% of where we wanted it to be. And then I photoshopped a lot of it to kind of work.
Yeah.
So it came out great. Like we love it. We were stoked on it. But yeah, I think that was really cool for us as far as the album art, that we actually built that thing. Like it wasn't like I just put it together and like Photoshop or something. Like we fucking made it. So that's cool for us.
That is very cool. I thought you were going to tell me you had somebody else set it up and photograph it. And so that's pretty impressive actually to do it. The old DIY ethic still lives, huh?
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple times yourself doing vocals, of course, Gage doing vocals, mm-hmm. and you even brought up the song Nemesis. When I heard mm-hmm. the song Nemesis, I'm going, who the fuck are all these people singing on here?
Sure.
Who's, what are the vocal parts in there?
So at the end, the first vocalist is Angel from the band Abrasion.
Okay.
And then the second is our friend Chris from Dead Heat.
Oh yeah.
And then third is Jeffrey from Hands of God. And then the last is Dan from Downpresser.
All right. All right. Yeah. Wow. We just
wanted to do a California thing. We're like, let's just have California all on this song.
That's very cool. I like that. I like the, but I don't think I noticed any other features, vocals, guest vocals on the record. I could be wrong.
Yeah, there was Austin from Buried Dreams. He's on the song Pincushion. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is the stupidest thought I've had in a long time, but earlier today I was sitting at work, just sitting in my little cubicle, you know, listening to mm-hmm. aggressive music, and Pincushion was playing. And I looked at the song title and this is so stupid. And I thought, that's such a fucking cool looking word for such a, such a stupid object. Cause I think it was when I first looked at it, I was like, what is Pincushion?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? And then like, you know, my brain is like, oh, it's a fucking pin cushion. Like, that's not that cool. But when you say, like, you know, visually, it looks pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Gage's idea. So
he's got a lot of good ideas for what I'm hearing. Well, so I've seen that you guys have had a lot of, praise from more mainstream media outlets like Stereogum or Kerrang or even Revolver, which is all good. I'm all for all that. But yeah. How do you stack up like that type of feedback against like the feedback from where you came from? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want more, I guess?
I think it's always cool to get like a bigger, I don't know what you call it. Like
exposure.
Yeah. That's always awesome. Yeah. And you love it. I think that I personally would rather see people who go to our shows getting crazier and like telling us that they love the album and shit. Like, to me, that's definitely more important, because even though it is cool to get like good reviews or good, you know, ratings from a bigger source, it kind of doesn't really matter if like the shows suck. And to us,
right. How much does it move the needle for you?
To us, like, that's always like our live shows. It doesn't matter if there's a sold out show with 1,000 people or if it's like 50 kids, if it's going crazy the whole time, like, we had a good time. Mm-hmm. That's really all that matters.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. But I also know, like, I don't want to sound like I'm saying like, oh, getting that positive press from bigger outlets is a bad thing. I think that's great. I just think I think a lot of bands come from the way you came up, the way you did, came up, you know, the way the style of Vamakar still really respect the opinions of their what's the word I'm looking for?
It's peers,
not, is it peers? That's what it is. Yeah. I was gonna say constituents, and that's not it. That's not so I also think that sometimes we can let that hold people back, you know, hold a band back by trying to be real. And, you know, like, there's something about going for it that I think should be more well respected and regarded and pushed. And like, if you can fucking make this thing work outside of here, then you absolutely should. And I think we're seeing more and more of that coming out of hardcore.
There's a lot of bands right now in hardcore that are doing huge things, you know, and that's awesome to me if that band is staying true to whatever they are.
Exactly.
I couldn't be more stoked for like friends of ours who are like doing huge festivals and touring like fucking almost like 9 months out of the year or something.
And it's more than ever too.
That's awesome to me, because you know, if it's just their music and their sound and who they are as a live performer that's catching on and people are liking it, they can get as big as they fucking can. I think it is a little bit different when like somebody uses like hardcore to kind of grab a little bit of attention. And then like, once they have it, they're like, okay, now we're, you know, a totally different band, because that's what can get us huge. Like that's a little weird, but as long as you're staying true to your sound and who you are, I don't care how big you get. That's awesome.
You know what I find, and I agree with you. You know what I find, the bands that are trying to get that little bit of hardcore attention and use that to like, you know, as a stepping stone, typically aren't hardcore bands, you know. And I don't mean that. I mean that it's sonically like,
sure,
you on first listen, you wouldn't say that's a hardcore band. You might say that's a death metal band, or that's a, I don't know what they're calling the 90s stuff that people are doing now, like a grungish band, hardcore adjacent as a term people like now. But it's because, well, I guess it's hard to leave hardcore if you are a hardcore band. So that makes a lot of sense. We talked about touring a bit. You guys have done quite a few tours. Mm-hmm. Are there any bands or people that you've toured with that have made like a positive impact and maybe changed the way that you operate as a band or even just a musician?
I would say that, I would say one of our favorite bands to tour with is Judiciary. Those guys have like a really good, fun energy, you know, and we've toured, I think we've toured a couple of times with them in the US, and then we also toured Europe with them in 2019, I believe it was. And like, that's just a band that, they just go out and just have fun. And like, I think sometimes it's easy. And I'm kind of hard on my band and myself, where like if the show wasn't like super crazy, I'm like, oh, that show sucked. But at the same time, it's like, it's not, it's like, it's cool. Like some shows are going to be awesome and some shows are going to be a little slower. And it's like, you're out there getting to fucking play these shows and travel the world. And that's sick. And I think that, like Judiciary is definitely one of those bands that just kind of showed me at least like, just have fucking fun with it, you know? Mm-hmm. One of our favorite bands to tour with, and we only got to tour with them once, was Sanction. And again, those Lumpy, I don't know if you've ever spoken with Lumpy, Lumpy, my favorite thing with him is that he is tapped into every good coffee shop in every fucking city. So I'll text him whenever we get to whatever city, I'll be like, coffee, and he'll be like, right here. And then he's just, I think again, that's just like a, hey, we're out on the road.
Yeah.
Like, let's just enjoy being out on the road type of a thing. And then also another band we've toured with a couple of times that I take a lot from is Year of the Knife. Mm-hmm. And I think that is because that is a band that is very DIY. Like I know that their members like design their merch and like,
it takes a lot to come out of Delaware. We have no respect for Delaware around here. So
I'm
being facetious, but yeah, no, it's Delaware, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry. Back to what you said. No,
you're good.
I want to get the nice things in about them. I have no beef with them at all. I just have beef with Delaware.
No, that's okay. I remember we stayed with, Maddie and Brandon on a tour and they were like, I was like, so like, what do you guys like do? And they're like, go to Philly.
Exactly. Get on 95.
Yeah. But again, that even them being from Delaware is like cool because that's again small. And you know, you kind of have to really kind of bust your ass to like make a name for yourself. And it's coming from such a small place. And I think that the pride that I see a lot of Delaware hardcore bands have is like awesome. You know, like they rep Delaware like super hard. And that's,
it's stronger than ever from down there too. So I'm giving shit to Delaware, but when I was like most active around here, there was basically one band from Delaware. Well, there was two. Mm-hmm. Voice Sets Fire was one, but the one like heavy hardcore band was Dead and Buried, who were great. And, but that was like it. And otherwise there'd be shows in Delaware, but you always had issues with Nazis. Always. It was like, you know, but like that corner of Maryland is like that too. So it would, but it didn't seem like a lot of stuff came from Delaware for a long time. And maybe I was ignorant to the stuff that was, but there is now that they've got a strong thing happening there. And I think that's pretty cool.
Dude, it's awesome. I think it's really cool because for me, and I know this is probably going to piss some people off, I think that Los Angeles is the greatest place in the world. And so
that's all right. We all have bad opinions.
So for me, it's like, I come from this fucking huge city where, I'm just stoked to live here. Yeah. And you know, I think when you're in such a big city and the scene is so big also, like we've had nights where we'll have a bunch of hardcore bands or metal bands playing like four or five sold out shows in one night and everywhere's doing great. So I think like it's kind of easy to sometimes come from here and like your band is doing really well because like it's kind of built in with the scene. Like the scene is awesome and there's so many people. So I think when you come from a place that's a little bit smaller and you can get it thriving, like that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it is. And I being here where this probably won't make any sense to you, but I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is an hour and a half outside of Philly, about an hour and 45 north of Baltimore. But growing up, I lived in a part of Pennsylvania where I was 45 minutes from Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for a very long time. And, you know, like basically what I'm getting to is over on the East Coast, it's like, it's probably very similar to the way you just described Los Angeles, where you don't got to go far in this pocket to find great shows or, you know, it's always there. The bands typically do pretty well. And, I don't feel for the rest of the country because I'm a jerk or, you know, just like unsympathetic, but like, I know that I'm missing that it's, at least I'm trying to be aware that it's got to be harder for other places to have their come up, you know? So when there's a place like right now, like Arkansas seems to be Little Rock with Stan and Terminal Nation, all those guys have going on there, and that their thing that they've got coming up, that scene is so cool to see what Devin and Rejection Pact and all those guys in Boise are doing, like, you know, that thing coming up. That's cool. And I think that's why it makes those little areas so special. But it's also cool shit that you could just start a band in Los Angeles and, you know, make it, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's very cool. And the thing is too, is again, it's such a big place that, you know, I think that if you can get connected with the right people and, like, you know, you, I think a big thing that some people forget is that promoters and like people really involved in the hardcore scene, they know who's coming to shows, you know, they know who's supporting other bands in the scene and everything. Like, you could see it. And I think that for a lot of my friends who put on shows, when they see, hey, this kid and his friends started a band and they're coming to all of our shows, they're like, let's throw them on a show. Let's put them on a big lineup that's coming through so that they can get a shot to, like, showcase. And that's something I think is really cool too, is like, it's not a lot, it's not like gatekeeping, you know, to be like, oh, well, like, you're not in a cool group, like, I'm only booking my friends type shit. It's like, you're coming out, you're supporting our scene, you're, you know, involved, you got a band, all right, let's get you on a show that, like, can get you in front of some people. And that's, like, that's really cool about Los Angeles also.
Is there a band that did that for you guys?
Oh yeah. Zabalba was a big band that did that for us. Forced Order, when they were around, that was another band. They would, cause we were big Forced Order fans. Mm-hmm. So we were like, started playing shows and they're like, hey, we're going to get you guys on some shows and shit like that. And that's always been cool because, you know, like for bands to kind of give back to a smaller group is, like, I think that's super important. And, you know, even kids now, come to shows and like, if we play a show and they're like, oh, good set, like, I'll tell them, I'll be like, hey dude, like, I see you around all the time. Like, thanks for, like, coming out and, like, really supporting the shows. Like, that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I just think that it's important, you know, to, like, acknowledge, like, those who are actually coming around and contributing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as dumb and basic as it all is, everybody needs that positive reinforcement. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if you keep showing up to shows and nobody acknowledges you or gives a shit that you're there, eventually you're not going to come. And when they stop coming, this, you know, the scene that it's all built on just gets weaker. So it's important to acknowledge the people that are there, especially when hardcore is built as this thing that's all inclusive. Everybody's the same. We all know for sure that that's not always the case.
Sure.
You know, there's cliques and crews and a pecking order and a hierarchy and it's all there. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool to hear that you're cognizant and aware of that and are actively doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think also, like, as far as, like, again, I've lived in Los Angeles for my whole life and the scene is always been good. And that's a blessing for sure. But it's really cool to also see, like, scenes around us, like using that mentality and, like, giving back. And, like, I think one of the ones that comes to mind is Las Vegas. The Las Vegas scene has been so fucking cool recently, where, like, we'll have a tour or whatever, and we're about to, like, we're looking forward is getting to go to Vegas and play it. And, like, I think the first time we played Vegas, we were a little bit skeptical because we heard a lot of, like, bad things at the time, like, different beers and shit. And it was a friend of ours who was like, no, I'm going to bring you out and, like, we're going to take care of you. And he works for a company called Black Path. And ever since then, whenever we play Vegas, because we've seen where bands were like, don't go to Vegas, it sucks. And, you know, and now when we see that this scene is insane, it's awesome, we always make sure to show Vegas some love.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of ties to Vegas or knowledge about the Vegas scene, but the guys that I was always in touch with there were the Folsom fellas, Stu, in particular. And now he's got Spirit World going, and that seems to be seems to be kicking. But even he was a guy that would send me stuff. He would send me demo tapes from Vegas bands, you know. So yeah. That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah. That spot's awesome. Kicking. All right. Let's wrap it up on this. Sure. What's ahead in the year for Vamakar that you can
say? That we can say. We're definitely doing some tours. We started submitting to a couple of tours recently. Right now, confirmed, we have This Is Hardcore in August, which is going to be awesome to be back at. And then we will be in Europe for a couple of weeks in June. So that's something that we're really looking forward to. I think, again, we haven't been there since 2019. So, awesome. And then other than that, I think, our record release show is in a couple of weeks, May 19th. In San Fernando. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Davey, thanks for doing this. And thanks for making the music that you make. I love it.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
There you have it. That was my conversation with Davey of Vamakara. The song you just heard, How Long Until It Kills Me, off of their new album, No Roses on My Grave, on Closed Casket Activities, available everywhere right now. Very cool looking record. Go get yourself some of that fancy vinyl from the Closed Casket Activities
store. I'm sure it's out there on the internet and easily accessible, and I don't need to direct you every step of the way. Come on, man. Sometimes when my kids empty the dishwasher, they want to know where every little thing goes. And I think that's ridiculous. Just figure it out. You can figure out how to Google. I can figure out where dishwasher stuff goes. Although sometimes I get it wrong too. So who am I to criticize? Anyway, thanks to Davey for the chat. Thanks to you for the listen. Have you yourself visited gettingitout.net recently? If not, you should have. There's lots going on there. As always, not just the podcast, there's reviews and music news, gets your tour wrap-ups, find out what's going on in the world of underground and extreme music. Check out stuff, man. New review up there from Rick for Wizard Tattoo, the stoner rock-ish band, taking on a bit of a journey. I forget what the record's called, but you can Google that too. I've got a lot of cool episodes coming up this month on the podcast. Some I'm very excited about. One or two that I've been in the works with for quite a while. We are back on track with the record label Spotlights. Youngblood missed by a week, but it was technically part of the April schedule, I'll say. So May is already in the books, and we'll be talking to Jad from Magnetic Eye Records, mostly about their Redux series, which if you're familiar with that, they've got a new one coming from Soundgarden's Super Unknown record, which is very exciting. And I got one from a Pennsylvania hardcore band that I really love. I'm looking forward to that one. What else? Some other stuff I can't tell you at the moment, but that's okay. Maybe some guests that have been here before, but it's been a while, quite a few years. Either way, you'll just have to keep coming back and seeing what's happening on Getting It Out podcast. But I'm going to end this one here and now. But first, I'm going to play you a song as I do. This one is from a band I've played before, but not in a little while. This band is called Sinister Feeling. They're based out of Baltimore, Maryland. They call themselves Power Violence, and that's okay with me. This song is called Peace Alone. It's off of their 2023 promo. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.